You're listening to the Rural Advancement Podcast. Rural Advancement provides resources to empower, equip, and encourage rural pastors and churches. Join our community by visiting us at ruraladvancement.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rural Advancement. This is the podcast that is by rural leaders and for rural leaders. It is our goal every single week, week in and week out, to bring you content that is not just spoken to the rural church, but is spoken by people who get it, people who have lived, worked, and ministered in small, out-of-the-way places, and people who understand the great value of the work that God does there. I am your host, Joe Epley, and I am excited today to dive into a conversation with Pastor Jared Smith. He comes from Larned, Kansas, and I am super stoked to hear his journey because he's kind of been on this track of youth ministry for a long time and now moved into an associate role. And along the way, he has just worn a lot of hats, which I think a lot of us in a rural context can sympathize. So I'm excited to dive into his story. But first, I want to say, Pastor Jared, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Pastor Joe. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're excited to hear your story, too. I've really enjoyed how unique everybody's experience has been and what it kind of teaches us as we learn from each other how to do better in a small town church. So, well, why don't you take a few minutes and just talk to us about your background in ministry, where you've been, what you've done, and kind of your connection to the rural church.
Yeah, so I was born and grew up in a town, Dodge City, Kansas, about 30,000 people. And then when I was about 10, moved to even a smaller town of 250, about 15 miles from Dodge, and went to a small 1A school. So I graduated with about 30 kids in my class. So a small town is what I love. It's what I know. And so I ended up going to McPherson, Kansas for college, and got plugged into a local youth group there. They needed some help. They needed some warm bodies at their youth ministry. And so my job was to get the table and chairs out and set up the cookies and snacks and pop. And then my job was to clean everything up once the night was done and put everything away. And then one thing led to another. I remember one Sunday night, as we had youth group on Sunday night, the youth pastor called me up about 25, 30 minutes before youth group started. And he said, "Hey, I got an emergency. I need you to preach tonight." I'm like, nice. No, Pastor Aaron, I don't do that. Like, I had never done anything close to that. Pastor, you call one of the other leaders, and he would not give up. He's like, "I need you at my house right now." I said, "I don't even know what to say." He says, "I got all my notes ready."
Dang.
And so I ran over to his house. He was in his car backed up. I pulled up, he rolled the window down, he handed me his notes, and he headed straight to the hospital.
Wow.
And so that night I preached my first sermon straight off his notes. I read them word for word. He had a curriculum that he used. And so there was a lot of detailed notes. The problem was that there was a lot, and he wouldn't use them all. And I think I did. And so I read word for word. And so that was the start of it. And then one thing led to another and got an opportunity to lead a couple small groups, and then just felt a calling into ministry and started kind of putting some feelers out there and just began to pray. And Pastor Ryan Webster, who's our lead pastor here at Valley Community Church in Larned, Kansas, was my youth pastor growing up, and he reached out to me, prayed about it, and ended up in Larned, Kansas, and been here going on 11 years, and it's been a great journey.
Yeah, and talk to us. I mean, we're going to dive into this, but even in that 11 years, you know, your role hasn't stayed the same the whole time, so kind of give us the flyby of what you did when you started versus, you know, then you did another area, and kind of where you're at now, you know?
Yeah, so started as the youth pastor, and then just loved doing that. And of course, in the rural churches, Pastor Ryan and I were the only people on. Well, we had an administrative pastor, a children's pastor, and so we all, when you have three people on staff, you just do what you need to do. And so I learned that early on, that I thought I was coming to be the youth pastor, and I didn't realize that that meant way more than just the title was. But man, I've enjoyed every learning opportunity, and so was the youth pastor for about 8 years, and then got an opportunity to take over the finances and do the administrative part of the church, and did that for about 2 years. And that was a learning experience. Yeah. And it was fun. Enjoyed every part of that. And then got an opportunity to train up an admin and someone to do the finances, as well as our new youth pastor. So
nice. Well, hey, I love the trajectory of that story. I will never not make a joke about somebody handing the youth pastor the financial reins to a church, because it just sounds like it goes against every leadership book we've ever read, you know. So, and speaking as someone who, has spent the last 10 years in youth ministry, is now a district youth director, like for sure, it's just a whole party. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, and I'm excited to kind of draw some lessons from each stop on your journey. So my first question is, let's dive into your youth ministry kind of background. And what I really loved in our conversation is you talked about the intentionality that you tried to have to integrate into kind of your new small town when you moved there 11 years ago. And specifically, you know, how you connected with students and parents going to away games and just kind of what that turned into. And I really loved hearing the whole relational journey of how that kind of, you know, brought you to a good place. So tell us how you got kind of connected with Larned there.
Yeah, I think growing up in small towns helped out a bunch, just realizing the similarity of the cultures between going from one rural community to another. And each rural community is unique, but they share similarities. And so it's from my perspective. So when I got here in Larned and no one knew me and I knew no one in Larned, in our small rural town, athletics is a big deal. So Friday night football games, Monday night JV games, Thursday nights are when the junior high are playing. And so I just started going to each one and just and sitting in the on the home side with Larned. I'd put a Larned t-shirt on, and I just would pick different parents to sit by. And so I knew that eventually I could build trust with the students. The parents can be sometimes the difficult bridge to build. And so I just wanted to start off swinging, essentially. And just so when you live in a small town in a rural community and someone's sitting in the stands, you're with your t-shirt on. Like, who is that person? You don't recognize them, especially when you go to the away games. That's probably the away games bared way more fruit than the home games did, because you're traveling and they're like, who is this person coming to our home games and our away games? And just introducing myself and just picking a new family to sit by. One of the neat things was, is by the time we got to baseball and softball season, I had built enough relationship with most of the parents that I had with several of them call or text me a few days like, hey, we're heading to the game. And you're more than welcome to ride with us. And so I just got to ride with, instead of driving by myself, getting to ride with the parents and talk and just build relationships with them. So.
Yeah, and I really love the tone of your approach, because I know for me, because how old would you have been when you moved to Larned?
I was 26 when I moved to Larned.
Right. And I know I was 21 when I took over my small town, and I think it was hard for me to break in with the parents, because I think I felt so much more natural affinity for the youth. And I think it's an easy route to take for us as youth pastors to say, well, yeah, I got to reach the youth. I got to reach the youth. But I love just hearing about your intentionality of saying, hey, I know that I can build bridges with them, so let me work on kind of a harder group of people. How far have you traveled to the farthest away game that you went to?
Farthest away game I went to probably was a sub-state or a state game, was probably about 4.5, 5 hours. I probably, yeah, it's the ones where you have to spend the night that there's been a couple of those. So.
Yeah, well, that's a huge example. I just love you sharing that, because again, nothing goes farther than extravagant love for your hometown, you know, or for the town you find yourself in. And so, that's super encouraging. Well, let's look into you know, a different part of your journey, right? So obviously you've gone from youth pastor to kind of youth pastor and financials, and then you've been able to train up, you know, both those replacements, and now you find yourself kind of in this associate role, right? And you mentioned how your role now is very broad. You know, as again, as often happens in rural towns, you just start putting on hats, and then one day you wake up and go like, okay, what am I? You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I? What's my title? Am I the executive? Am I the associate? Am I the executive associate? And so maybe dive in with us. How do you find, I mean, maybe highlight what your experience has been, and then tell us, like, how do you measure success in a role where maybe it's pretty broad and success might kind of elude you in a sense? You know, it's not as easy as saying, I preached a sermon this week to 20 teenagers and this many came to camp with me. You know what I'm saying? It's a very different set of metrics. So walk us through that journey.
Yeah, man, we were talking, Pastor Joe, before we jumped on, that this was the most challenging question, as I just wrestled through it, but it's my favorite one out of the list that you sent me. It really is. It brings attention to, I think, not just myself, but also just the whole team. Because when you are wearing so many hats, that not only am I wondering it, but the team is wondering it as well. And so as we just talk about that, and we've been slowly working on defining what my role is so that I can have some more defined wins. But it seems like when you have so many hats on, it's which ones am I going to take off and which ones am I really truly going to define? And what does this look like? Because if I take one hat off, who am I giving it to?
Yeah,
and who's going to do it well? And so I think I, for myself, I get stuck in a rut and I'm like, okay, well, this is just is what it is. I'm just going to put my head down and go. Sure. And then one day you look up and you're like, man, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. This is a lot. I got a lot of hats on. Right. Yeah. And so there's some tension there. And so I think it's a great conversation we have. And I hope that someone can relate to that and hopefully take something from this. So.
Yeah. And talk to me about kind of your church culture a little bit, because I know that when we originally talked, you mentioned that your church has certain values and how they were at least helpful on some days to be a filter. So walk us through the values of your church and how you try as a pastor, again, even in a vague role to fulfill that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Joe, our mission statement is connecting people to Jesus. Our vision statement is Ephesians 4, equipping God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. And then the culture we want to cultivate here at Valley Community Church is a healthy family. And so as we talk about that and saying that out loud, whether it's from the pulpit or our small group meetings or trying to fit that in wherever we can, so it becomes part of our vernacular. That's really how I've been measuring some of the wins, not just for myself, but as a whole. As the body of Christ, as Valley Community Church, what does it look like? Are we connecting people to Jesus? And if not, why are we? What's the problem? What's the issue? And I think we can do a lot of things in rural communities. I think just church in general, where we're putting energy, time, and effort into something, but instead of moving forward with our mission and vision, we're moving sideways and not really gaining much ground. And so I think just truly defining, hey, if I can help Pastor Ryan and carry the vision that the Lord's placed on him and the mission that he's placed in his heart, and I can help carry that, as long as we're seeing people connected to Jesus, as long as we're truly discipling, and as long as we're building healthy culture or healthy families, or being a part of a healthy family of the body of Christ, then I'm going to count that as one. But it can get messy. Like healthy family is messy sometimes. So
yeah, for sure. And I really love what that does for us as people, because oftentimes we talk about our calling in relation to our assignment, right? We say, well, I'm called to be a youth pastor, and so a youth pastor is what I am. But when you're forced into a role that, yeah, sure, comes with a title, but certainly the focus is much different. I really love that you've been able to internalize and say, you know, I'm not just going to measure it by a certain set of external factors, but by an internal culture that we're trying to cultivate, so that whatever actions you're taking in a day, are they kind of moving the ball of the church forward? And I really love that. So, so let's talk about another phase of your journey here. And again, as I mentioned, you know, having a youth pastor take over the finances of the church, it's just a party. And I have sat in meetings where as the youth pastor, you know, I advocate for my own budget and advocate for my people. And I've had board members, you know, call my spending frivolous, you know, in good jest, because they were like, what are you doing buying these random things for the youth department? I was like, well, it's all ministry, you know, don't worry about it, you know. But talk to me about, because I'm really a fan of perspective. And what I think is really cool as ministers that shapes us and could shape our listeners is, like, once you sit in a certain seat, you gain a certain sympathy, understanding, a shared weight. You kind of get to see things from that vantage point. So maybe walk us through what perspectives you kind of gained from running the church finances.
Yeah. So it started out as I came to Lauren, they had a youth pastor here, but he was completely volunteer and most of the budget came out of his own pocket. It was something that he wanted to do.
Oh, sure.
So when I came on, they had to not only put my monthly paycheck into the budget, but also build a budget into the church finance. And so, you know, we started off very small, $250, $500, and slowly just fighting for that and building for that, so we have something more to use over the years. And so each time it came down to budget meeting, I wasn't, everyone knew I wasn't afraid to share my mind to speak what I think, because that was, I felt like that's what my responsibility was to do what I could to fight for the youth. And so when it transitioned to me that now I'm the one in charge of creating the budget and taking it and for it to be approved by Pastor Ryan and the board, like everything changed. My glasses changed. And so I know everyone probably does their budget a little bit different, but we do a 90% of what our previous year was. And so sometimes, you know, if it's a down year, man, you have to cut things. And so I'm the guy that's sitting there cutting budgets and just slicing things away.
But weirdly, the youth department is still 50% of the budget, right? Like that's how you run it.
Yes, yeah,
I'm just kidding.
The beautiful thing. Yeah. You know, and yeah. And so it was. So it just taking a different perspective. Maybe this is a silly example, but I have 9 brothers and sisters. And so I would remember at times where my mom and dad were going out to eat after church on Sunday. And they're like, hey, where do you guys want to eat at? And all 10 of us have a different opinion on where we want to go eat. Mm. And no one can get on the same page. And so when that happens, everyone starts fighting and competing. Like, here's why we should go here. No, here's why we should go here. And everyone's trying to convince everyone. And next thing you know, the van goes from quiet, relaxed to just utter chaos. And so someone has to step in, which would have been my father, and say, actually, here's where we're going to go. This, we're going to pick this. And so I think just when we give opportunities, I love it that Pastor Ryan's always given me an opportunity to share my voice, but there always has to be someone, I think, that brings all those things together and say, okay, but here's what's best for the family. Here's what's best for the church. Here's what's best for the body of Christ. And so being that person gave me a whole new perspective on church finances and budgets and all those things.
Nice. And yeah. I can imagine the sense of balance that has to come up with that, but continue on. Were you going to say something else?
Yeah. And just helping to eliminate chaos and people getting their feelings hurt. Cause I think when it comes to those things, like, hey, and even just having those meetings where you sit down with the children's pastor and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know your budget's not the only one we cut, but we cut yours to get us at the 90%. So just having those tough conversations and helping other people to realize, but in that moment, when you're asked to voice your opinion, you know, like my dad would, hey, where do you guys want to go eat? Everyone had one, but bringing that chaos back into a common good so that we can move forward.
And I love that, because I do think there's a point, especially as associates, because obviously people who launch out of, you know, let's say a Bible college or maybe their first role is lead pastoring, I think that pressure becomes acute kind of right away. But if you're coming from an associate world, to have to make a transition in your brain to say, my job is to advocate on behalf of this department, almost, if we're being really honest deep in our heart of hearts, we don't really necessarily care near as much about what happens to the other departments. You know, we're like, hey, my job right now is to advocate for students and for teens, or whatever your associate department is. But to have to step back and go, hey, we're going to be oriented towards the whole church and the good of the whole church, even at the expense of one piece, is a huge maturity moment. I know I was blessed by just hearing you walk through that journey with us. Well, hey, let's dive into this. This is just a fun question because, you're a long time associate in a sense, right? You've been 11 years. You're not a lead pastor of that church. And so how do you end up serving your lead pastor? What is the best way you found? You know, what are some of the burdens that they're carrying? How are you supporting that? You know, I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, I think one of the things I remind myself, and it took me a while to figure this out, is that Pastor Ryan can't do everything in his own strength. And I think sometimes we look to the lead pastor to do everything or have all the answers and for our questions. Like, he's constantly having people asking questions and they're constantly expecting answers. And even when we have problems, going to him, you know, when I was a youth pastor, like, hey, I have this problem. Like, can you take care of this? Right. Like, and having him help equip me to do it in my own strength. So I remind myself that he can't do everything in his own strength. And I think of the story of Moses when when the Israelites are fighting and he's holding the staff up. And as the staff's in the air, the Israelites are winning. But as he gets tired, because you can only hold your hands up in the air for so long,
sure.
And his arms begin to fall, the Israelites begin to lose. And so Aaron and Hur come alongside Moses, one on each side, and help Moses, the leader, hold up the staff. And so I try to do my best to be on one side with Pastor Ryan and hold that staff up, and realizing that he's the one that gets to hold the staff up. I just simply get to come alongside and help him hold it up, because he can't do everything in his own strength, and I shouldn't expect him to do everything in his own strength.
I love that. Well, our final question here is really just a unique journey, because often in ministry, most times I would say we have an experience where maybe you're the youth pastor at a church for a number of years, and then you sense it's time to move on and you end up leaving and they bring in a replacement, and the interaction between you and the replacement might be professional at best, or even non-existent at times, you know, in the church world. But you have had a pretty cool opportunity to mentor both your replacement as kind of this financial admin role, but also as the youth pastor of the church, while still remaining in the same context. And I'm sure that there's plenty of leaders trying to replace themselves, trying to work through that same process. So take it whatever direction you like. Maybe you have some really practical wisdom of how you've managed to make that happen. Or maybe you're like, hey, here's kind of what it's been like and some of the struggles I felt or the wins that were there. But just talk to us about that experience of mentoring your own replacements.
Yeah, I think just with helping both of them, the board came back and said, hey, we're gonna hire someone to do the finances and the admin part, and we're going to bring on a youth pastor, and we want you to train both of them for the first six months, and then just kind of slowly take a step back. It didn't even take 6 months for these people to really just take off. Like, it was after two, three months, I'm like, man, these guys, they got it. And so I think what was neat through the whole process is just building relationships with them and helping them, and realizing that my ceiling became their floor, and celebrating that. And so I don't want my ceiling. Like, I don't want someone to have to come in and figure this out all on their own again. Like, hey, let my ceiling be your floor so that you can take it even higher. Mm. And I can tell you, Pastor Joe, that both of them are running circles around what I had done, and they're exceeding and they're taking things even farther. I think one example was, you know, we got an opportunity to DJ the school dance, me and the new youth pastor. And we went to the dance, and we were sitting there, and I was running the DJs and trying to, you know, show the new youth pastor the ropes. And we're sitting there, and like, there's only two or three people out there dancing, and new youth pastors were like, you need to play this song. I'm like, that's silly. No one's, it's not going to make a difference. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I played that song, and almost everyone went out to the dance floor and started dancing. And then I realized, like, there's things.
Yeah,
they
maybe
know
we're
that
not as
know.
Cool
like,
as we think yeah, we are. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. It was like this realization of, wow, okay, you know, there's some things I can learn as well. And so just was a light bulb moment for me. And then I think just to answer your question is letting my ceiling be someone else's floor and letting them continue to succeed.
Yeah, no, that is huge. I mean, I've enjoyed our whole conversation, but just that statement, that posture that we want to have, I think it just gets the right tone, because we're not in competition, most certainly. And we're not just trying to say, have fun and figure it out. We're trying to say, how can you stay where I was at, but also go way further? And I just love your heart behind that. Cool. Well, hey, thank you, sir, for being on the podcast today. I really appreciate your insights and the opportunity to hear your story.
Yeah, Pastor Joe, thanks so much for having me on. I enjoyed talking with you.
Absolutely. Well, hey, from all of us at Rural Advancement, we just want to say again, we aim every single week to bring you content that is just spoken to right where you're at. We want you to feel equipped, encouraged, and empowered to do God's work in small, out-of-the-way places. As always, you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, but true to the rural form, best way to spread this podcast around is just to find another pastor who might benefit from these conversations and share it and clue them in. And so once again, this week, I've been your host, Joe Epley. He has been Pastor Jared Smith, and we will see you next week.